Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, your host, also publisher of the National Black Unity News. And I want to welcome our panelists who are with us this evening. It's about five or six of us on board thus far. And as always, you know, my partner, co-host, Brother Satawi Jaheed. And before we get into our discussion talking about media, the power of media and the power of media, how it can benefit you and how you are involved in media, whether you choose to or not. But in any case, Brother Satawi has always had some powerful information he would like to share with us. So with that being said, Brother Satawi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And as y'all know, each and every week we come on here, we do readings from Daily Motivations for African-American Success. You know, if we can't be successful, then what's it all about? And that book is written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. It is a choice to be rich, and it's a choice to be poor, and we have to choose wisely. Reading for today, October 25th, A Room With a View. Don't face the day until you face God. Maya Angelou, writer. George Washington Carver once said, my prayers seem to be more of an attitude than anything else. I indulge in no lip service but ask the great God silently, daily, and often many times a day to permit me to speak to him. Ask him to give me wisdom, understanding, and boldly strength to do his will. Hence, I'm asking and receiving all the time. Prayer is need finding a voice. Prayer is embarrassment seeking relief. Prayer is a friend to search of a friend, search of a friend. Prayer is a quest in the darkness of midnight. Prayer is knocking on the barred door. Prayer is communion through both darkness and closed doors. The Harvard Classics on the premise that if any individual could regularly give a few minutes a day to reading and moments of meditation, he or she would be familiar with much of the distilled wisdom of the human race. Spiritual growth, too, requires time each day given to prayer. A young student visited George Washington Carver's laboratory in Tuskegee, Alabama, and noted that the windows were covered with blinds and boards so the curiosity seekers could not spy on him. But the young man learned from Dr. Carver's former assistant that the inventor was not trying to blind peering eyes. Rather, he was trying to find peace as he knelt beside his laboratory bench for his daily moments of prayer. Our creator has boundless resources. The only limit is us. Our asking, our thinking, our prayers can never be too big. Today I will pray for the desires of my heart. And, you know, prayer is very, very important. You know, I find myself every morning down on my knees praying and just I start off with a prayer, you know, of thankful, you know, thankness, gratitude. Thankful for being alive, thankful for whatever obstacles that I'm faced, being able to be given those challenges so that it can help me grow, improve, and become a better person. You know, I find I pray more now than I ever prayed before. I guess that's, you know, something that happens as you get older. You know, you seek out prayer more because you see yourself getting closer to God and closer to your calling when that day comes when, you know, you meet your creator or you meet your maker. And so, you know, so prayer is very, very important. And I advise everybody, make sure you develop a relationship, a personal relationship with the Creator so that you are comfortable seeking him and praying to him or her. So that said, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
I appreciate that, sir. And, you know, speaking of prayer, you know, that's another form of communication, which is a form of media or medium. And And you know, the topic tonight, amongst many, one of it is media. And you, how does it benefit you? How does it harm you? And everything in between. And, you know, I often send out some communication to some of the people involved with the National Black Unity News, which is another source of media, print media, but it's also online. So, you know, it has dual purposes. But, you know, when we print this publication, one of the first places it goes is to the Library of Congress, even before I get it, I believe. And so, like I say, I don't know what system the government uses to make sure they're on top of communication. But I do know several years ago they had this big to-do about that camp I used to work at, that place out there, Fort Meade, I believe it was. And they had the NSA, that's the name of it. And, you know, they had this big thing about them tapping into your communication, your phone systems and things like that. Some said that it was necessary so that they can prevent some serious stuff that could take place to you, me, and in our community and in our country. But then again, a lot of people say it's imposing on their privacy. And so, you know, you can look at communication one way or the other. And communication, even God said in the beginning, he spoke. He used communication to bring things into existence. So, you know, so communication media has been here from day one. And I believe it would always be here. You know, even, you know, those who have sent the video to, and he was even talking about, you know, I'm not trying to get into no religious thing this evening, but he was even saying that even Satan himself, those who believe in the Bible, was cast out of heaven, as they said, he wouldn't even come to the earth because the earth really don't have, is not that significant. I guess just like everything else out there in the universe, there's a piece of this and piece of that. But he said the real power is in the air. And that's why they call him the prince of the power of the air. And because he knows, because that's where the true power is. And when God spoke, he spoke into to whatever he spoke into, and then it came to be. But with us, even now, where would we be? How do you know every, even animal, all of us, you know, have some forms of communication? Just talking to each other, thinking, thoughts, everything. It's a form of communication. And so, you know, so this subject can go all over the place this evening. But I do want to hit on a few things, and I'm open up the phone lines and people can chime in, is that, you know, this air, this communication, the power of the air, you know, of course, those of you, I'm not that heavy into, I like electronic, electrician and scientists and all this kind of stuff, but these airwaves that most of our system use, matter of fact, all of them use it, the radio that on certain wavelengths, TV transmits all kinds of things, even satellites transmitting back and forth, you know, cell phones, everything, it's different levels of these airwaves. And so, and we know, you know, everything that we pretty much do is pretty much ran by electronic, you know, computer systems and stuff which use airwaves. And so it's a powerful, powerful tool. And even, as I mentioned to you before, we publish a newspaper, but it's online as well. And so, so whatever's in the air, whatever these wavelengths are, it's a powerful substance, because even the creator and his creation it utilized this form. And so the real power, even if they will give earth, they say the atmosphere of the earth, which is air and everything else. But in any case, you know, media is such a powerful tool. For those of us who are history buff knows that you know, propaganda is one of the tools that not only tribes, nations, and everything else, Hitler and everybody else use forms of communication to convince people to think this way or that way. We also know, because we in the United States and it's a capitalist society, that we are bombarded with all types of information that comes from the radios, TVs, and everything else, commercials, music. You know, this stage is sending out all types of information. That's what we talk about. This is how we dress. You know, this is the matter of fact, even tell us how we think or what we should think about. You know, what's hot today and what's cold tomorrow. So this thing we talking about, communication, ladies and gentlemen, is a powerful tool. It has been used to harm and hurt a multitude of people. But on the other end, you know, just like everything, up, down, in and out, hot, cold, you know, it has benefits, a lot of benefits. Because as you say, we wouldn't be here if God did not speak us into existence, as it is said. But this subject is so vast and so wide, but I'm trying to bring it down to a different level to us. Because, you know, my format is pretty much African-American, melanated, black people. And I recently, in Baltimore, we have, you know, just like everybody else, we have a variety of stations. And we have some stations are geared toward this way and some stations are geared toward that. Even our communication system is divided now. Most people just don't speak. You know, one time we used to try to speak the truth and send information out, but now everybody them got their camps, they set in them, and so they I don't care what you say, they're going to put it this way, and the other station's going to say it this way. But we have a state's attorney here in Baltimore by the name of Marilyn Mosby, and a certain group of people she's being extremely targeted through media. I don't care what this other stick, because I did it on purpose. Watched it for a long time. And most of their podcasts that evening was stating that because she has this thing where she was not going to prosecute low-level crimes, as they call them, like being possession of marijuana or, say, if it's prostitution or something like that, where it would tie up the court systems and this, that, where all this other stuff is going on. And everything is so backlogged. But she took a lot of heat from there. But even the scientists, people who do history and statistics, also say because when she done it, it did not change anything that much one way or the other. You know, crime didn't increase this way because of the decisions she made. But it did help get the court system, you know, ease some of the burden off of them. And most of the people that would have been caught or should have been caught are pretty much enough what they call habitual criminals or something like that. But in any case, they targeted her, and just about everything they talked about was about her, you know, that they got, she's being, what you call that, she's under the watch of the government because of her and her husband under something, you know, they're trying to find some criminal things on her. But they talked about some other thing, but everything they talked about during that half an hour, they kind of threw her in there. it was amazing how blatant. I mean, things that had nothing, apples and oranges, but yet they kind of threw stuff in there. You know, I don't care what they were talking about. It kind of, well, you know, these are some of the things that happened because of the laws that she passed. Somebody had an accident or something, you know, and somehow she got twisted up in that. But that's the power of persuasion when people want to target you about this and this, that. And so we as a people had always been targeted in this country, and I guess throughout the diaspora as well, has been targeted through media so that our images are not that great. People are truly afraid of us. I mean, people don't even want to be near us. And that's the truth. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, people don't trust because the way we are being portrayed in media. And then to make it so bad, how powerful media is, this is it's a military thing. It's a propaganda thing. The first thing when a company, when a country want to overtake another country, or even if they defeated the country, the first thing they do when they invade a country, one of the first things they do is take down the media system, attack the media system. So they won't have a voice, so they can't sway people. This one of the first things to do. Even way back in the day when these people call themselves discoverers, the Columbus and all of those type people, the Erickson's and all of those people, when they go in there and find these lands, the people's already down how they discovered them, but that's, you know, how they claim that. But the first thing they do when they call themselves conquering and discovering it for themselves, the first thing they do, they attack their ways of communication to each other. Then they input their ways of thinking, their culture, and things like that. And so, you know, this is how powerful, you know, medium is. It said most of us on here, I don't know about the people on Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, and everything else, but most of us on here in this setting where I'm at now, we deal with communication one form or another. We all associate with organizations, and some of us host this, and some of us, like I say, we involved with so many variety of things. But, and I tell you often, is this, that, you know, in this country alone, you can take all of our communications. I'm talking about radio, TV, newspapers, lump us all in one lump, and we still own less than 1% of the media. Black people, I'm talking only. And so you can imagine just about everything we hear and listen to, unless we're not conscious of, we make a concerted effort to listen to black this and black that. But the majority of us are listening to this 90% something of information coming from outside sources. So they sway us the way we think. They control the school system. I mean, just about everything. So can you imagine years and years of this bombardment of information coming from outside sources? And here we got less than 1% of the media, and only a few, like I say, only a few even listen to the fruit, the small voices that we do have. And to me, it's always been in crisis mode, because all my life I've been centered around, you know, other people's opinions of us. I've seen it happen to my father. I've seen it happen to me. I've seen it happen to communities I've been, schools I went to. This propaganda was in full force. The jobs I had, everything. And so, it's a powerful thing. And then our children. And now, see, not only did she, you know, they escalated since the time I was young. You know, they not even, you know, now they snatching the baby because they know our children got these cell phones. First thing they do, they jump on computers now. You know, we used to go outside and play ball and do all this stuff. But these children are attached to communication. A child, every time you see them, they got one of them little contraptions in their hands or a cell phone up to their ears. So they just got like a live wire. They plug right into our children at such a tender age now. And they're being told what to think, what to say, what to dress, what to look like, what's in and what's out. And those of us who are seniors on here, those of us who are parents, those of you that have access to your children, you know, to your community, and when you speak out to them, you have one voice. And you say this and say that, but yet they get 99 other voices coming in from other. So, you know, even you, the same, I mean, by percentage-wise, you don't have stand too much of a chance with your own children. And it's extremely dangerous. And you wonder why we are this way. And now that they escalated with their communication systems, how our children are thinking, what they are thinking. And then, and the communication, one time they used to try to hide, now they straight up about their stuff. They tell you they're not going to let you know about your history. They're not going to put your history in their system. They just going to tell you straight up about it. We're not going to do this. Your Congress people tell you that. And in the school system, you know, I don't know. Somebody was laughing. He was laughing about this the other day. But we ain't too far from Dick and Jane right now. This dumbed down, you know, there's nothing real significance to what's going on in our lives. And And so because we are, most of us are attached to media, the National Black Unity News, and we had this voice, and the small voice we do have is powerful. It's a powerful tool. And I personally, and the people that I'm associated with, we are actually going to escalate. With a lot of people now, we're moving into another form of media. It's called podcasting. And other people have other formats, websites, and everything else that we will be dealing with. And it's necessary right now, because if we don't, the way things happen, like I said, now the little 1% I was telling you about earlier, now they're trying to, you know, take over that as well. They're buying us out. Some of us are kept by, you know, main media, so that, you know, we have to depend on them to run our own media. And so, you know, so it's a scary thing, you know, because sometimes we take things for granted. You know, we take these liberties, this power that God has given each and every one of these gifts that God has given us, and they are being squelched. And even though we have the power to do for self, these try to communicate with self, but it's difficult because, like I said, you got places like the internet who have billions of people on there talking about everything from their opinions. But we don't have what you call a real consorted communication system where black people, which we have control of, can communicate with one another. And so tonight, I want to have an open discussion with each and every one of you on here, if you so want to talk about this, because as I said to you before, we don't have too many voices up, but the small voices we have, we need to communicate with each other. Now, I, David Murphy, have a plan, like with the National Black Unity News. Like I said, it's a way of communication, and the way we are set up, we are not kept or brought by anybody. So therefore, we have what you call a collaboration. So we have a lot of voices who have come together to share information, but the type of information we share is not what you call general information that other media use. You know, they talk about who got killed, who did this, and this politician said this and this, that. The type of information we put in this publication is solution-oriented, and it's positive. You know, people have a lot of experiences, and they share their experiences with our readers. And so that makes us different. Even we are a minority, even in a minority. I know people don't like using that word, but, you know, we are a little spoke within a spoke that's totally different from most media, mainstream media, black, white, whatever you want to call it. But because of the people you are, I got to know some of you. Some of you have some fantastic visions about media, especially when it comes to podcasting, your page inside the National Black Unity News. And some of you, you may not notice or not, but some of you is like myself, is divinely inspired when you write articles and some of the things that you want to do in podcasts. I'm going to give you a small example sometimes. And this person may not know, don't even know I'm going to, you know, think of it, but this is how things work sometimes. We have an editor that hosted the Tuesday night podcast, which will be on tomorrow at 7:30, Kathleen Murphy. If you go to her page and read her articles, and she had planned this way before you start seeing the news with all of these shit sitting out in the ocean and wherever, with all of this cargo on, and that's what you've been hearing on the news, how the whole system is jacked up now. From the ships can't get unloaded, to the truck drivers who couldn't get to the warehouses, and all over the place, you know, and people leaving jobs and stuff like this. But she had an insight from somewhere, and she pretty much wrote something similar, you know, what was, you know, some of the things that some of our youth can get involved with. And see, I don't know why she wrote the article, whatever did she written it, and it's a hot subject today. And she has solutions in it. You know, but see, this is the type of information that you know, some of us are inspired with. And so, but again, the voice that you have is so powerful if you recognize who you are, what you are, and what you're capable of. You see, Here I'm one person, but yet I'm tapped into this system, this trillion, billion, I don't know, y'all have any number, system, communication system. And it's not a lot of us in there, people that looks like me, because like I say, because that's the first thing people do when they want to control the people. They shut down the levels of communication. And so, you know, even all over this country and some of the African countries, you know, if you look behind the scenes, it's not us, it's them controlling the airwaves. But because how things evolved and like this wonderful invention called the internet has popped up, and most average person have access to it. They even gonna try to regulate that. They've been trying to do it, but as it stands right now, you can go on there. They consist depends on what format you're on, but you can go on there and pretty much voice your opinion, and if you're savvy enough, you can rally a multitude of people who can hear your opinion. And so that's what I decided to do, is to rally some people by using the system that they put in place, and then to reach a massive amount of people. And so that at least they can hear this voice, because my voice, just like your voice, but I'm going to pick on some people tonight. I know some of you may not step up, but I'm going to pick on y'all because I'm not going to say too much about certain situations, but you know, most of you have ears to hear, eyes to see with, and you can read between the lines, so to speak. Because not only do you know communication is a powerful tool, but it's well monitored. So, you know, just be careful what you say and how you say it sometimes. But yet, you know, but if you know, today, before I go open this, you know, I stood on a protest line today, and this is something I very seldom do. As a matter of fact, I don't think I ever did it, but so, you know, so, but way back in the 60s. But I watched a group of people stand in front of City Hall and add their grievances. And it's a unique process, but of course, you know, there are media there. And then I've seen you guys and you start hanging around, and I witnessed the police department, two or three of them, not only security out of City Hall came out, but a couple of police officers were gathered around in strategic places. And so, you know, I was watching all of this unfold, and, you know, nothing happened, and nobody attacked nobody, but everything was being monitored, just put it that way. And so I start off saying the National Black Unity News, even before it comes back, goes into the Library of Congress because they want to know who's saying what in this country. It's monitored. So every newspaper that's being printed in here, every book that's registered goes to their Congress. You know, they document it. And before they document, somebody reads it. So, you know, because they, like I say, so they are very aware the power of media. It's a powerful tool. But in any case, since you are aware of the power of the media, the forces that try to control it, but you have access to it just as much as anybody else, if you know how to use it wisely and strategically. And so this force called media, relating to Black African melanated people, and I just want to get some of your opinion about media. And I'm gonna start off with my brother, you know, because he seems to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things. And brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir? How you doing?
All right, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, but look, Cliff, you know I'm rambling on about media because I'm trying to be, well, I'm not all of that, but, you know, I try to be careful when I come on these airways because I do know everything is being monitored. But, you know, there's a statement that is written to say the truth will set you free and the people perish for lack of knowledge or wisdom. And so, therefore, and if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall just about for anything. So sometimes, you know, in life, you got to take a stand. I already took my stand, and I'm going to stand until the day I die, because I believe my purpose. I know my purpose, and I believe my purpose is extremely important media. And but from your point of view, this thing we call media and all the different ways and forces that it uses, how do you think media relates to Africans throughout the world? How do you think media has played its part with us? From your, you know, I think that's kind of a broad question, but I think you know where I'm coming from.
Well, I would say just in general, one of the primary reasons why African people and people of African descent are so misinformed about so many things, that you'll see us on the street saying that we're nothing, we were never nothing, we never will be nothing, is because it's been repeated over and over and over again to us through news media, with all the crime statistics that are thrown around, to commentators who love to talk about black on black crime but never talk about white on white crime, to the fictional television shows, many of them award-winning. Many of us are big, big fans of, for instance, The Wire. Now, actually, I've never actually seen The Wire, but I mean, it was a highly acclaimed show. But the other thought is that an image comes out of what our community, especially here in Baltimore and Baltimore area, is like as a result of a lot of shows, critically acclaimed or not, such as that. So there's a lot of influence that is placed upon us by what we see in the news, what we see in commentary, and what we see in fictional television. I did take a look at the video, and the Reverend, I keep forgetting his name. I had it about 3 minutes ago. And
yeah, Miles Monroe.
Miles Monroe, yeah. Yes. So I took a look at the video, and I had to get past a little proselytizing that he was doing, because he basically took an hour and 16 minutes to say media is important, we should get involved in it. But I understand that, you know, he had a pastor's delivery, and he was essentially delivering a sermon. And so as a result, that's the way those things tend to go. But like I said, it really could have been said in about 20 seconds. We need to take advantage of the mass media. We need to get our message out, because there are a whole lot of ungodly things that are being pushed on, in his case, the Christian community, in my case, the Pan-African community, that need to be counteracted with some form of positive media. And the way organized media is now, with all the commercialization and the big money that is behind it, ultimately it'll come down to independent media to be able to start to push, I guess you'd say, the balance back. It reminded me of a CD that was released, I guess, about 20 years ago. And the group that released the CD is Michael Franti and Spearhead. And Michael Franti, he's a little bit of a Pan-African thinker, but he's also got a lot of hippie in him. So as a result, there's a lot of, I guess, what one might call a typical left-wing liberal kind of thought that goes into a lot of the things that he says. There are going to be some people, even in the revolutionary Pan-African community, who won't necessarily agree with everything he says. But this one particular CD that he released was called Stay Human. And the entire CD was centered around a fictional radio station. And this wasn't a nonprofit radio station. This wasn't even a community-sponsored radio station. This was just a straight-up pirate radio station. And this pirate radio station, in other words, a radio station operating outside of the FCC licensing regime, and so as a result would be subject to being raided and taken down at almost any time by law enforcement were they to find out where they were broadcasted from. And this pirate radio station was, in this particular CD, talking to the community about a particular situation, a fictional activist that they called Sister Fatima, who had been convicted in a court of murdering a prominent white couple. and she was set to be executed. Woody Harrelson actually played the governor of this fictional state where this fictional activist was being held prisoner and was scheduled to be put to death. Long story short, a little bit of a spoiler, because I'm guessing probably not too many people are going to go out and grab the CD. Not even sure if people find it. In the end, the activist is finally executed. Now, the two people who are running this particular show, one of whom was played by Michael Franti, and another was played by Sister, who was his co-host on this fictional radio show, were taking everybody through all of the issues of the case. They interviewed the sister from prison. They interviewed the governor, played by Woody Harrelson. In the end, she is executed. After she is executed, and they announce it, and everyone is very upset. It comes out like a day or so later that the real killer suddenly comes forward and shows them not only where he buried the bodies, but also the weapons that he used, after which the governor, played by Woody Harrelson, blows his own brains out. So this is basically the way that story played out over this entire CD. And they had a little radio snippet in between a variety of songs. And there were some songs are very, you know, almost flower child, you know, love everybody and don't be mean to each other and let's not be racist to each other kind of things. And then there are others, like a song called Listener Supported, which is toward the end, which is kind of brings it to a climax. And the refrain is, live and direct, we're coming, never pre-recorded, with information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. Whoop, whoop, we're coming, listener supported. And there's a very, very defiant tone that was set by that particular song. And then right after that is another radio clip where the FBI actually raids their show while they're on the air and arrests them and takes them into custody. So the CD itself is more or less kind of the story of this independent pirate radio station and what happened to them, not only as a result of their being a pirate radio station, but also as a result of the activism that they were pushing in their particular community. So I guess it's a little bit of a microcosm of what could happen if you don't follow the rules and if you speak up a little bit too loudly. So I, as you were talking, it just reminded me of that particular CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, just black newspapers. You know, some we used to call, you know, they had the Underground Railroad, but, you know, they had underground papers and ways of communicating throughout slavery and stuff. But, you know, with those who was in the North used to always take the black papers and try to assimilate them throughout the South, you know, underground, so to speak. And so I, listening to you speak about, you know, that CD, you know, even though they was kind of, well, I call them parables, speaking in parable, but there was a lot of truth in it, a lot of truth that was being shared in this, you know, if you look at the whole story. And pretty much ain't that much changed. But like I said, we are censored, you know, in a lot of ways, a lot of ways.
And if you remember about 30 or 40 years ago, you had Radio Free Europe that was being broadcast primarily by the United States and a lot of the Western European countries as an attempt to essentially speak out against, for them, communist influence in a lot of Eastern European countries. So sure, these jokers, if they want to influence the people, then they'll use whatever media source that they have at their disposal. Just look at what Trump did with Twitter. I mean, he sat up there on Twitter. He would just throw out one inane, uninformed, libelous tweet after another, and after a while, people started to believe it, and a lot of the confusion. Whether you believe in the vaccine or not, a lot of the confusion that exists right now with regard to COVID, the vaccines, and everything else is because of media influence. And whether you believe that the vaccine is a lifesaver or whether you believe that it's poison, the problem is not so much in this case, in my opinion, what you believe, but it's how you came to that conclusion. There are so many people who believe that the vaccine is poison because they saw someone who they have no idea who the person is. They have no idea what the person's credentials are. They're not a doctor. They're not an epidemiologist, but they said something in a YouTube video. And because they saw that in the YouTube video, people jumped on it and they got very excited. Dr. Boyce Watkins had a sister on a little while back. I don't know if it was a few weeks ago or not, but I took a look at the show that he did with her. And she gave a lot of her issues with regard to the vaccine. I later on would read something else on a website that essentially said that many of the things that she said about how the vaccine operated or how it functioned or basically what the risks were either misinterpreted, misstated, or otherwise misinformed. Now, you can believe her or you can believe the people who critiqued her. She said that PhDs were the most resistant single population in the entire country to vaccines. Well, there are a number of people who dispute that. She put a nice little bar graph up there as though putting a bar graph that anyone could create is going to prove a point. But again, it was a matter of if there was the media. In this case, it was the media in the form of Dr. Boyce Watkins, who a large percentage, I would say most of us, have respect for. I have respect for him. But I don't know for a fact that just because the sister, who I have no reason to think is insincere, that just because she was on Dr. Boyce Watkins' show, that she necessarily is correct. Because, I mean, everybody gets something wrong at some point or another. I'm going to get some things wrong, and I'm going to misinterpret some things, and I'll probably say some things that people will come back and they'll say, well, Brother Cliff, you really need to do some more research on that, or you don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the thing is just that that's another example of just how powerful a tool media can be, because most people don't know the sister from a can of paint, but she showed up on Dr. Boyce Watkins' show, and now that gives her a lot of instant credibility.
Well, you made a powerful point just now when you mentioned Trump and the rhetoric that he was putting out there. And then what they called him QAnon and all of this, they was going off. I mean, they were saying some outrageous stuff, but they was diehard. They believed what they were saying or what they was hearing. Mm-hmm. And some of these even die for it. You see, they raided the cab. I mean, people, so like this is how easily influenced we are, because we had already been indoctrinated. I used to watch these old movies and stuff, how they would just give you a little bit at a time to brainwash you, just a little bit at a time. Next thing you know, in time, you was just like a mummy. When they say click the finger, you did what they say do,
Mark Twain once said, what gets us into trouble isn't stuff that we don't know. It's what we know for sure that just ain't so.
Well, that's a powerful point. But I'm going to move along a little bit because there's a couple other people I would like to get in. Brother Leroy, are you available? Brother Leroy McKenzie, are you available, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
But look, now, most of us on here know you, that you not only is you published quite a few books, your own books, but you assist quite a few people to publish their books as well. And, throughout history, that's what was one of our original forms of media before the airways took it over. People used to, scribe and put things in books and documents on tablets and whatever form they can do on the walls, But there's a billion books out here with a billion different opinions. But then a lot of people who used to write a lot of books, you know, used to do what they call a lot of research. And dealing with media, are you familiar with any books or things that you can recommend to people about some of these sources, you know, when they deal with media, especially dealing with us, that you would recommend people to read to kind of, like I say, we are bombarded with all types of information. But from your, I'm just asking your opinion about some books that you would highly recommend some of us read that we can come back, or you, how would you say, dispute some of the stuff that's been put in our heads by other folks. I think
well,
you know
I can't, I can't think of any particular book specifically that talk about the media per se, books that talk about the media that's, you know, that give us an, I think of a couple of books, I think of The ISIS Papers by Dr. Frances Cross Wilson. She talks about a myriad of things, but one of those things is, you know, of course, of course, the media and how that controls our way of thinking and everything like that. So I would say The ISIS Papers, and maybe, and I'm sure he probably said it in his book as well, but Brother Malcolm X, he talks about, of course, he says the media is the number one influencer that we have that's out here. It's that powerful. It has, he said, it has the ability to think, to make the, to make someone who is the oppressor think, the someone who is being oppressed think that it is okay for the oppressor to oppress them, or to have you thinking that you did something wrong when someone is doing you wrong. That's how powerful the media is to what we do, the narratives that we see out here today. Just, I mean, all you got to do is simple social media, go on to the news feed, and the things that you'll see, and you can understand how certain narratives are put out there. I used to tell me and my best friend, she used to always get on me, you need to watch the news, you need to watch the local news. I said, no, I don't. I said, I can tell you the first five stories that are going to be on the news every single night. I said, somebody being shot, somebody being killed, there's a fire somewhere, an accident, something like that. Those are the five stories that you get on any news outlet every single night. I promise you, watch the local news, and that's all you'll hear. And that becomes something that gets embedded in us, like you were saying, Brother David, that becomes embedded in us, where we tend to become numb to it. We become to just take it on as being to be expected and all of those things. And that's why it's so important for outlets like the National Black Unity News, because that's what we do. We combat all of those other social media, mainstream media is what I say. And when I talk to people about the newspaper, that's what I tell them. I said, you're not going to find stories in the National Black Unity News that you find in the mainstream media. I said, the editors in this newspaper, they talk about issues. They talk about things that you aren't readily talked about, you know, anywhere else. So it's important to have these platforms, like the National Black Union News, to have these talks that we're having here tonight, talking about media, because you always say it, that the black community only makes up 1% or less than 1% of the media. And that's simple to understand, that we only make up not even 1%. And so it becomes even more crucial what we do with that 1%, whether it's newspapers, whether it's books, whether it's social media. We have to be adamant about how we use it and what we use it for, because we've got to break the other narratives that are out there. We've got to combat those other narratives, because if we don't, who will? We'll just go on and continue to be, you know, get these subliminal messages, will continue to fall into following the narrative that they want you to follow into, to fall into, and you'll start to believe what it is that they tell you about you instead of believing the things that believing in who we are and believing in who we are. I said, because if you listen to the media, and I'm talking specifically right now about Clubhouse. If you go into Clubhouse and you listen to some of the people in those rooms, in the Clubhouse room, you would think that all black men are trash. You would think that all of us are broke. You would think that men, you know, that we're no good, that we can't do anything. We don't make a honest living. We can't be honest about, you know, we can't be in these loving and great relationships. But that's what's perpetuated. That's what's talked about. That's what's put out there. So if that's all that's put out there from that perspective, and even from the business perspective on Clubhouse, those rooms that talk about entrepreneurship, that may talk about media, that may talk about books, those are the ones that aren't visited as much as the ones that talk about trash, you know, that have nothing positive to say. It's just like TV. You have a lot of people who want to watch the reality TV stuff, and if that's your thing, that's your thing, but also have something to combat that. You know, don't just watch that. Don't let that be all that you consume. Because if all you're consuming is negativity and those things that make you think in a certain negative mindset, because we're already conditioned to think negatively anyway. When we think about things, we always go to the negative first. So watching things and reading things and listening to things that have nothing to do but negativity, all it does is perpetuate what you're talking about. You know, you mentioned Trump earlier. He knows everything that he puts out there may be a lie, but it's what feeds those folks because they want negativity. They feed into it, or they agree with what he's saying, one of the two, but it just gets them to be able to feed right in. You know, I think it's important that we uplift and that we put out there the National Black Unity News, and that we, you know, that we give these outlets, we give these platforms the maximum amount of exposure that we can so that we combat all of the other narratives, negative narratives that we have out there.
Right. Thank you, sir. You hit a lot of points. Bubba Cliff hit a lot of points. And you know, you can't let fear enter in because, like I say, it's a powerful force. And they come at you, know, like you say, from especially TV shows. You know, and you wonder, you know, I'm just, you know, I hope I just don't offend anybody. But the gay rights movie, a movement, you know, one time 25, 40 years ago, you know, it was almost taboo to do this and do this. And then so they gave power to like a show like The Will and Grace, and then they had this talk show host and everything, you know, and slowly but surely. But now it's a powerful, powerful movement. You know, you dare not kind of go up against them now. And you know, this is the power of media and how they can influence things. Right now, I hate to say this, but you know, because even little children witnesses this. You know, I heard you mention these reality shows. You know, I've seen a few of them. A lot of negativism, fighting each other, physically fighting, mentally fighting, and putting each other down, and stuff like this. Even to our, what you may call, religious institutions. I remember, even when I was a little boy and before my time, you know, I remember the church, well, the doors was really open. You know, they used to have all kinds of things in there for young people. I mean, when I came up on Baker Street, they had marching bands inside the church. You know, Ames Cadets it was called. And, you know, they had all kinds of activities for children and stuff, you know. But also remember that that was the meeting place where the activists met. And they dealt with the issues of the time. You know, I'm talking about protesting, whatever they do, taking a stand here and there, fighting for our rights and stuff like this. But now, I mean, 25, 30 years ago, now even that institution has been penetrated so badly that now they even lulling people to sleep into complacency to just wait on sweet Jesus and everything be all right, you know, and no fighting, no, you know. And you go right outside the church and you see the boys out there hanging on their steps, twirling, but they ain't got no power even in front of their own doors now. But, you know, I'm just saying there's so much that has happened to us. And, you know, I'm going to turn this around, this subject, man. We talked about a lot of things that the harm that media can do. But if you flip it around, there's some great things not only can the media do, but we can do as individuals. And I, you know, I told you about this podcasting thing, and I wish that most of you are going to be involved with it anyway. But the power of we, us, because, you know, they understand the power of the media and how it can influence people. See, we can do the same thing as well. That's how much power we have as individuals, but collectively it's even more powerful because it has this thing. I'm going to give you one small example how powerful we can be. And just say, for instance, this thing they call Facebook. And I was sharing this the other night that if you go on a social network such as a Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, and you join these organizations or that you have an interest into, and you join them, you could actually literally in a day's time, you could actually reach millions and millions of people if you join enough groups. At least, you know, everybody, they may not read your material, but they have access to it. Now, can you imagine, see us on there, about 10 of us on here. Now, if each one of us did that, let me just give you a small example of how compounding can turn things upside down. Let's just say if each one of us, I see 10 of us on here, and if each one of us just took the time one day and go on Facebook and we join all of these groups and each one of us come up with a million plus people, right now on here we would have 10 million following us if we had a podcast or put the newspaper in it. You can use the National Black Unity News. Just say, and we, every time we could go on the post, we post the National Black Unity News in it. So that means Brother Thomas would have a million something, five, whatever group he joined. And then Rico and everybody else have a million plus. That's 10 million. Now, based on that, you know, and that's small numbers when you're talking about a country like the United States, but we're talking about access to the world now. You know, you can reach people now all over the world. But this will be keep it small and short. Right here in the United States alone, this is the power of us, we. Now, if we was working this thing collectively and say we had one frame of mind that we want to promote the National Black Unity News, and so every time we got 10, and we hitting all kinds of whatever your interest is, we got people who is it from the church, we got people who from financial services that, you know, they want to reach people there. We have people who, like Brother Cliff and Brother Satari, who are very conscious about us, you know, and they reach the conscious community. And we hit all of these different areas and all of this. But that's 10 million people that we have access to that can hear our voice. This is what we call the National Black Unity News. Based on statistics that I've been reading, the Census Bureau, even from the black media themselves, are based on their readership, what they say. This is what they are saying now, to believe. Those 200-something black newspapers, if you combine their readerships, their circulations, and everything together, I don't think it even come close to 10 million. And some of these institutions have been around for hundreds of years and well established. But if a simple guy like David Murphy can figure little things out like that, you know, and because this is what they do. I'm in media, so I do kind of study my craft, the things that I'm involved with, because that's when, you know, where your heart is, that's where your interest is. So I like media. I like the power of media. I like communications because it's a part of everything you do. And you, if you ever wonder why you think this way, why you act, I question myself all the time. Why I do this? Why I act like that? Why I think this way? And if you start acting, if you're sincere about, you're going to get some rude awakening because you've been influenced by this and by that. But somebody told you this is the right way to do it. This is the best way to do it. And sometimes, be honest, quite frankly, sometimes we don't, well, I hate to say it, but, you know, we don't use our own resources, us. We don't use our own mind. We don't even think anymore. We're being told what to think. But it's just back to where I'm getting to. Now, if we could do something like a 10 million thing with that we have access to, that's a 10 of us right now. But I'm just saying, but we would have the power to compound the 10, because if we get enough of those out of that million and we got 100,000 or 20,000, 50,000, this is how serious the situation we're in, how dire straight that we're in. If say we got the 10% out of the million right now, and we still come up with 100,000, 200,000 people that we have access to, we would still be the most powerful media source pretty much in this country. Even though you got the Kathy Hughes and everybody else who's putting, through the airwaves, but the airwaves are so cluttered. And they'll tell you they have access to, but that don't mean everybody's listening in. You know, they have access to these waves and stuff, and it has access. It can reach a certain amount of communities and geographical areas, but like I say, even in the scenario I just used, that don't mean everybody going to reach. Even I have 10 million people who could have access to my publication, that don't mean they're all going to reach. But this is the scenario that they use sometimes. But I do know this. With a small effort from a sincere group of people, and you don't have to do this collectively, you can do this on your own. Because if you want to reach your mission, this is your mission in life, and you have a dream, a vision, and you really want to help people, these are the things that you already have access to. You don't really need an army to go along with you, but you can still voice your opinion just like everybody else. But the power of one and the power of us is needed right now, because, like I say, the power of us, because, like I say, if you have a heart and a mission and a vision and you believe in your heart that you sincerely want to help us, you know, you have access to this thing. So I'm just encouraging you. We don't have, you know, we don't have that much time, but I'm going to let everybody talk. But I'm just encouraging you, because if God has put something in your heart, and you have a purpose in your heart, and you know this thing, you know, from your perspective, like my brother here, Michael Thomas, who has a thing called 1,000 Great Minds. He wanted to reach brothers and sisters all across this country. And he has access to this name, not only through the National Black Unity News, he already started a podcast. But this podcast has no limitation on the mass amount of people. Now, with his program, he has a way to help us out economically. And right now, you know, I'm being straight up about it. There's really no more excuses now, because his territory has been expanded. And he has already been told some of the things that he can do, if all these things left for him to do is to do it. But when you go on these type of journeys, you're going to find you're not by yourself. There's a host of people that's willing to work with you to assist you. All you have to do is take that journey, go on the journey. And just like Brother Cliffin working for a long time. But I do know there's enough of us on here that can fill a lot of them spokes up on that wheel he's been talking about for some time. You know, you don't have to wait on those who call, you know, in a certain situation. There's a lot of people who can really take that scenario and really run with it. And then once things start, you know, like one thing about media, one thing about the internet, And it's a system they call going viral. And that's when somebody put a feed out there or a post, and all of a sudden it gains enough interest that people all over the world just start, you know, liking it, sharing it, and keep sending it out there. It'll reach a million likes and $2 million, $3 million. Just some simple stuff sometimes. Just people just toss out there. But that's what happens. Sometimes it has the potential to reach millions and millions of people. Just a simple post. Now, can you imagine if a simple post would do that? Can you imagine if you had some real substance to share with people? And you consistently use this new tool, this system of communications, not only face-to-face, by any means necessary when it comes to communication. And this is the power of one, that you could yourself, by yourself, can turn around, but you don't have to do this by yourself because there's an army of waiting on you. There's an army of people. I'm going to set up with this, and then y'all can talk, you know. But, you know, even in that video, I don't think it was in that video, but I share this little African proverb. And the proverb goes like this. They say, an army of sheep that's led by a lion will always defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. Now, if they're being led by this, because that whoever's leading will teach them their ways of thinking. So a sheep can only teach those lions how to be sheepish. But that lion can turn those sheep into a killing machine because he has the heart, the mentality of a lion, of a killer. He can teach them sheep how to turn that whole thing around and nothing. That's why an elephant, strong as he is, big as he is, more intelligent than the lion and this, that. But yet, when they run across each other, yeah, that lion, you know, the elephant can tear him apart if he didn't have that fear. But because the mentality of that lion, all he sees is that elephant is something to eat, so he's going to come at him that way. And so, you know, but what I'm saying is, somebody. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, the power of one, using media, books, all these different mediums that we have out here, you know, by any means necessary. All I'm saying is, to you is this: I want to have this conversation because I do know the power of we. I also know the power of one as well, and if we do not stand up or stand for something, This thing we call media, this systematic thing that they use on us, it's going to get great until they take 100%. They ain't going to stop until they have complete control. And if we don't do something now, those of us who are still relevant in this world, we're still here, those of us who are seniors, who have gained a lot of knowledge and wisdom over the years, we can make a difference. Remember what's at stake. Our future generations, our grandbaby, our children, and our children's children by estate. And if somebody don't really take a stand, it's going to be, I don't know what to think, because you already seen, in my lifetime, I already seen the day and night, how even amongst ourselves, how we treat. I remember in the 60s, boy, you know, we had so much love for one another. You can go all over the world, and brothers were tapping and holding their fists up, what's up, blood, and, you know, all just that mentality. All that's been squelched. Now we ready to shoot each other at sight. You know, we can't stand one another because we've been told not to like one another. But in any case, anybody who's on here before we close out, you know, like I say, media is a powerful source, and I just wanted to share with you that it's being used against you, but it can be used for you as well. But you have to get into the game. You have to use these resources. Now, you know, you don't have to use it in the National Black Unity News or podcast, but, you know, you got one voice against a multitude of voices in your own household, because they are being your wife, your children, and everything else being bombarded with all of this stuff. And no way you can physically, I don't think no way that you can stop it. Unless you run around with your children all day long, 24/7 that way, and trying to block everything they do, but still you ain't going to get away from it. So, but there are some things that you can do. And so anybody, before we close up, when it comes to media, you, your vision, how you get your vision out there, how you combat what's coming into our airways, into our children's minds, into our minds, and to our communities. I mean, we are being bombarded. We have been taken over. We're just like the TV shows, and they even telling you that even in that, running around just like zombies. It's a popular thing now because, you know, because that's just the way it is now. This is what we have been told, what to think, how to think, when to do it, when to get up, and when to go to bed, everything. Anybody, Mr. Murphy, how about you, sir?
Are you talking to me, David Murphy?
I think you're the only other one on here.
Hey, man, well, I appreciate the shout-out, you know. But to be honest with you, yeah, you know, media communication is a powerful, powerful, powerful tool. No question about it. And unfortunately, for so many of us, we don't know how to use it. And we don't use what we already have well. And it's a shame because, you know, let's face it, like you said, you know, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, maybe, you know, I'm an old soldier. I would go around the world, and every time I saw a brother or sister, you know, it was like, you know, I'm glad to see you. You know, not everybody, but you know what I'm saying? Across the board, it was a wonderful feeling to see people. I'm serious, overseas and across the world, another black person, another black American. Oh, yes, we were on. In fact, I happened to be stationed at a place called Landstuhl, which was adjacent to a place called K-Town, a Kaiserslautern in Germany. And it is the largest community of Americans outside of America. In other words, as a group of Americans, we had the largest conglomeration of Americans right there in this one location. And I got to tell you that it was a wonderful situation because all the black folks pretty much get a lot of stuff together. And now I find that it's not quite the same way because everybody, like you said, David, all these unconscionable political, social, sexual camps and nobody wants to leave and everybody's kind of either. And the horror story is that they're all unhappy where they are. All of them are unhappy right where they are. And a lot of it has to do with communication. A lot of it has to do with what the media is putting out there. You know, if everything is, you know, it's about me, then everybody else feels as though that, you know, well, if it's about you, where do I fit in? And so I get it. But the point is that when it comes down to the National Black Unity News and what we do, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, we don't have to walk around with the attitude that if it bleeds, it leads in our newspapers. You know, that's not the way we function. Our goal is to provide solution-oriented information to the black melanated community. And one of the things that we do is we do that very, very well. In other words, we give them an option, something to think about, something that can give them a way for a better tomorrow, a better future. And I'm not saying that because that's what, you know, we some glowing, wonderful, shining light. No, we're just one little match amongst a whole lot of lights out there. And so at the end of the day, all I want to share with you guys is that, you know, as you're being a part of media, David is right. When it comes down to spreading your light, if you've got a good, wonderful concept about anything, I don't care what it is, then if it can help your brother or your sister, get it out there. If it means that you got to go on Facebook to find them out of the 20 million people that you make hooked up with, don't do that. But the point is that if you have a mission, you stick to your guns. And if you do that, I guarantee you, the whole world will be better for it. Back to you, David.
All right. I appreciate that. And you hit it right on the head. Because, you know, it's good to be collective, work together, and force. But, you know, you got to start with that man in the mirror. And if you can do that with you, then you see another man doing that, man. This is where that power comes in there. And, brother, I just seen a flash. Brother Thomas, can you unmute yourself? Brother Michael Thomas.
Yes, sir, David.
And can I see that background? I got a glimpse of something.
That's a thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah, I just purchased this background for $1, you know, and I got this other computer and I put it on it, you know, off Etsy, you know, but I just wanted to see if it worked. But I did want to say something in reference to
there you go, man.
Dialogue today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. And I heard Dr. Miles Monroe too, many years ago, said that we didn't have control of the airways. And a gentleman, I talked to his mother today, and she said that my son put this post on TikTok. He had this BB gun, and he shot a piece of cardboard and got 155,000 views in 4 days. You know, just some foolishness, you know, that people get some airspace. And having a real estate background, you know, I understand that we have these subsurface rights, surface rights, and above surface rights called air rights. So we have the airspace over our homes, you know, but we can't intrude on the airspace of the next door neighbor's property. However, what we're talking about is the airspace of the universe that covers us all. You know, that's the airspace and the airway that we don't have control of. That we can get control of. And as you said, David, we have no excuse. It's just a matter of bringing something into the space whereby the people can see a heart in it, you know, a genuine human bringing a genuine value to the genuine human. And we have not done that. We can do that. And this platform, as you mentioned many times, David, I think is the space to make it happen, because we have the collectivity of the minds with these genuine services and products and embellishments in life that is not in the mainstream news, that are not in mainstream news, that we can bring there, and we will bring them there, and we are not economically at this time prepared to get the space, nor economically prepared to get the space. But I think by the value of what we have, we will get the space, and we will get the economic driving force, you know, in order to help us to get it into the space. And I think that when we bring it into the space, that people will be magnetized to it by the millions. And as you mentioned about us not, there was something else you said that we lacked, but it's still coming in the form of the Black Unity newspaper, which is, that was the first thing in the landscape of media, the newspaper. And then 1900, the radio, the airspace came into existence, the radio, 120 years, you know, and so they've been using it well. They've hogged it well. They've dominated it well. They've controlled it, and they own it, except their grandchildren and grandchildren have owned the space now, Facebook and Google and this TikTok thing where this guy got 155,000 views in 4 days. So they own this airspace, and so we need to come onto the landscape or the airscape with something like they have, and I believe that we will have it. I recall Brother Umoja's thing, you know, about the women. That's a planetary thing. And I think that when we finally unify and bring all these podcasts together, that we're going to have an attraction that's going to keep the people magnetized. The other point is that I'm reminded of this character, a cartoon character in the 60s. I didn't know him very well until my friend told me about him. He drags around a little blanket, his dirty blanket, you know. And so it looks like to me that Black people are carrying around these little dirty blankets. And we are our own media by dragging around these dirty blankets that we've been given. We need to let the blankets go and come up with a clean blanket, you know, where people can be magnetized out blanket, let that dirty blanket go. Turn that dirty blanket loose, you know. And so that's just some of my thoughts, you know, that I can recall. There's some more, but I can't remember all this stuff because of my incompetency in being communicative like all you guys.
Well, let me just say this. You hold your own, and you speak so well. I wish I could speak well as you. And, you know, but like I say, we get in when we fit in, you know, all of us have our sets of gifts and our sets of talents. But I do know one thing you said, though, you know, when we had to change our character, you know, because if they, you know, I recall back, I think I told y'all about this one time. when I came up in the 50s and 60s, I didn't see too many images of black people, period, except for in Ebony and Jet magazine. That's the only time I used to, but at least it had me flipping through a magazine and you know, looking at the pictures of some nice images. But they had a multi, because they also were showing people that was being hung and everything in those magazines, too. Some of the rides that the police does biting us and stuff in the same magazines. And so I saw the other side of it, too. So it kind of like was a conflict in my head looking at those magazines at the time. But until I personally, now this was on me, though, until I personally went around Baltimore City when I had that vision, that dream to unite us with a program, a discount directly called Togetherness Unlimited. Until I went there and sought black businesses and services, and had the opportunity to sit down and actually talk to these people, that's when I got the flash. That was the first time in my life. I'm a grown man, almost 30-something, over 33 years old I was at the time. That I was, even though I read autobiographies, I read all this stuff, but this was the first time, I'm being honest, that I was proud of my people. Because I, real live people, right in my neighborhood, right in the city, they were doing so many great, holding down jobs, running the business. They were donating money to Little League. They were doing all sorts of things. And that's why I started the newspaper, because of those people that I met when I was doing that directory. And I've been running ever since, you know, on that energy. But see, but that's what it is. See, you know, see, that sparked me. But there's a host of us. That's all I'm saying. There's a host of us all over this world who may not believe, or like I say, because, you know, sometimes when people look at things, they look at it with blinders on, put it that way, because we've been bombarded with so many different things. Sometimes they don't believe that they can achieve certain things in life, especially when it comes to media. And, but we, the ones who are on here now, we have access to the media because we are already in the media. Those are most of us on here, and those who may be listening to us, you know of us. But at the same time, we also speaking about taking it to another level by getting into this thing, which is one of the most powerful sources on the internet, is video podcasting right now. That's the hottest thing on there now. And we now know, because of our association with each other, that we can take those same visions and dreams, go to the next level. A lot of our people haven't had privy of that, but they will if we do what we're supposed to do. That's why I say sometimes we are the seeds sometimes. And if we plant these seeds well, there's brothers and sisters all over the world will pick up our gauntlet. But we are planting, and they may grow it, you know, take it to another place where we couldn't even take it to. But if they see a brother like you, Brother Thomas, with 1,000 great minds, and you have a plan that actually can do that, and so now they say, this brother can do it, I can do it as well. And so that would give them the spark to go up there and maybe start a podcast or start a paper or start some form of communication so they can fulfill that vision and dream. See, a lot oftentimes, if we don't know, like I say, by divine inspiration, ladies and gentlemen, that this publication came to be. And that's why we are here, because of that divine thought that came to us. And we put it into fruition. You know, like that old saying, many are called, but few are chosen. But even the chosen ones, only a few of them will actually go out there and do something with something. And so, you know, so it's a process. But since we are here now, since our minds have been expanded, since we know we can do this and we can do that now, we know that, you know, just a little bit, we know, there ain't no excuse for us, we know now that we can put out any type of podcast we want. We have access to each other. So you don't have to do this thing alone. We just need to make up our minds to do it, and we need to do it quickly, because tomorrow is not promised to none of us. But I do know one thing. As a visionary, because I was given a vision, and sometimes when you are the visionary and you're given the vision, just like everything that y'all did, y'all are the visionary. When y'all was given the vision, see, you can see the end result sometimes, because 1,000 great minds, you can see, you know, it takes this, takes that, but you see the end results of it. A lot of people can't even conceive of it yet because they, you know, because they are not the visionary. But since you are this and you are there, you all have been. Oh, because most of you all want to do a podcast. Some of you are authors. You wrote books and everything else. So you all already took the necessary steps. So in our lives, there is no excuse for us, none whatsoever, because we have access to all of this, because we're on it right now. But there's a host of people all over this world, brilliant, young people, old people, middle-aged, everything else, waiting, because when they see us, they're going to have that same thing that happened to me when I saw all of those black businesses, a spark. And I've been running that race ever since, because I knew then that we were this. It ain't what I heard, it ain't what I read about. This is the people I actually met in my lifetime that were doing these wonderful things, had wonderful, great products, skillful people. And when I met, you know, all that reading, it was good and fine. But when I saw the real thing, and so when they see the real thing, just like I saw, when they see you, then they're going to say, things are possible. I can do this. They may call you up, may want to join forces with you. And do everything else. But all I'm saying is this, you know, on the flip side of this media thing, is that we have access to it just as much as they do. Yes, they're way more established and way more cynical, way more sinister about some of the things that they do. But based on laws, talking about God laws, natural laws, and man's laws, and that down here we're dealing with man's laws, and then it's right rugged out here. But on a natural law, we had just as much access to anybody else. And on a spiritual law, godly laws, all things are possible. All things. And we have access to everything. So, like I said, there's no excuses whatsoever for us not to finish the vision, the dream, because most of y'all have been on the journey for a long time. And now they're coming to a head now. Either you're going to sit on it or you're going to take it to the richest place in the earth, the graveyard. And that's to be a shame. All the years of experiences that we all have, it'd be a shame to take it there. That's why I'm urging you with urgency. And not only for our sakes, but for our people's sakes, for our children's sakes, and our children's sake. If we don't do it, who will? If not us, as we say in the paper, it's not now, when, if not us, then who? And so, you know, it's up to us to take this gauntlet up and run with it. Whatever vision and dream that you have, share it. Because you never know who's watching you, just like I watched those black business owners that I'm running. And the same thing can happen to people all over this world waiting. There's some people just waiting on you. And so, Vernon, did I see you have your hand up? Yes. And unmute yourself, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's another young man, you know, that came on the scene. But I told him when he first started, I said, man, you about to enter something. You may not even be how powerful of a concept that you have. Powerful thing. But go ahead, Vernon. What's on your mind, sir?
We were talking about generations. I would like to say good evening to everyone on the Zoom call tonight. Another thing that I was thinking about, talking about generations and media with our archives. You know, every culture has an archive. United States has the Library of Congress. I believe at one particular time we had an archive. You know, I believe it was destroyed. I think we need to get that back somewhere on this planet. We need to have, you know, a place where we can gather our documentations, our written materials, have it collected. You know, I just want to put it out there that put that vision out there that if anybody, you know, help me spread the word. You know, I don't necessarily have to be the one, but I know if somebody out there can start an archive. And,
hey, Vernon, let me stop you right there. I'm going to tell you something. And you may be just the man who can do it. Remember I told you about, it's still on the website right now, called the National Black Action Portal.
Right.
Well, it's also broken down to states. And one of the sections in each one of those states is a place in there where we have museums. And, you know, in every city, there's black museums all over the place. and around the world. And they just sitting there, like, you know, we have quite a few here, and they small ones, some large ones, and, you know, everything in between, the national ones. But they there, and all of them got artifacts in there about our history. Some of them, you know, and you go to some of the other countries, they got, it's there, but see, nobody takes the time to take all that data and put all that resources. Like I say, there's so much wealth, and we just sometimes just use that word unity, collective. Now, if you just went around, just you, say, because that's, if you have an interest in that, you can go right there and research all the museums, black museums all over the world, and you can put that into a website or a book, whatever you want to call it, anything, you know, that you can put it in, so everybody all over the world has access to it. Right. Because most of them have websites and everything else. Can you imagine somebody like a David Murphy want to really do something, not going what they say, this, that. I want to hear from my own people, from my own culture. So where do I go? I'll go to a great blacks and whites because I can see some of my local history. Then I go to the Reginald Lewis. Then I can go to the National Museum and up in D.C. I can go to places like that, you know, and find out some of the facts about us. But there's all over. We got small, Benjamin Banneker. We got all of these places scattered all over the place. But then again, then you have a lot of historians, too. But see, nobody's taking the time to organize all of that. And that might be your task, sir. Go ahead back to you, Vernon.
And the reason why I was saying that was because in other cultures, their generations don't start over from scratch. You know, in our community, a lot of us are starting over from scratch because there's nothing handed down. You know, of course, some of us don't have the wealth, but the knowledge is there. The wisdom is there. You know, I think in the African-American community, we're writing more books than we ever had. You know, we're writing a lot of different types of documents. We're starting newspaper, magazines, memoirs. We're doing novels. So I think this is a good thing for us. And we just, like everybody's been talking about it, we just have to continue connect with the diaspora, you know, and which entails 1,000 minds or more. It encompasses every aspect of all of us in this meeting tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Vern. Brother Tisdale, King Tisdale, can you unmute yourself, sir? Brother King Tisdale, can you unmute yourself?
I think I just did.
All right. How you doing this evening, sir?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you something because you sent me a text back early this morning and said that that video I sent out to people, I included you for a reason. I don't know why, but you know how things work. But Brother King Tisdale, he touched me back and said that this gentleman, Miles Monroe, is one of his people that he get his a lot of his resources from. He said, like, mentor or something. How do you explain that to me?
Miles Monroe is the first person who introduced the truth that many churches refuse to bring to the table. And he had caught my attention with a book that he had written entitled The Potential of Leadership. And back in, I think it was 94 or something like that, I was reading that book. And I've been following him for the most part ever since. He has been the only one who spoke of the kingdom consciousness and the truth as it should be presented, because a lot of people in our communities believe that when you die, you go to heaven. And that's not what the scripture says. There's an aspect of kingdom consciousness that he brings to the table that overrides the misinformation that has been given to us collectively. because the kingdom is within, and the manifestation of it, he brings so eloquently. I was totally surprised. So
let me just stop you just one moment, because you see, I'm a student, you know, and I ask a lot of questions. I mean, a lot. When I used to read the Bible, it was more questions. I had more questions than answers. But when I came across this gentleman, Miles Monroe, as far as I'm concerned, he's a great teacher. He know how to break things down so that the average person can fully understand.
Yes.
And even from the beginning, you know, when he was speaking about the, you know, and when he put man in the garden and he told him to cultivate it, he said, multiply. And, you know, and then he related that one time in a sermon as that's your gifts and talents. You do the same thing with that God. You multiply yourself. You cultivate those gifts, and then your gifts will make a way for you. And so, you know, like I said, it's difficult for me to sit around a lot of preachers who just take some sermon and just spew a whole lot of, stuff out sometimes that really I don't get anything from. There's no education in there. But he's one of the very, very few people that I can sit down and listen to. So, you know, go ahead. You know, but what I want to ask you, King, because you're an author as well, and you much more than that. And when it comes to media, what is your thought on that subject matter?
I like the way he brought it to the table in the video that you shared with us. It is the communication between the source and the receiver. And we have many people who have been in the middle, because media is the person, the object, the instrument that is in the middle between the source and the receiver. And when the middle, the medium, or the media is on point, then you clearly get to understand what is coming from the source. One of the examples that he gave in the video was an interpreter. Now, an interpreter interprets from the source, or the person, the speaker, what is being said to the hundreds, the thousands that are receiving the message. Now, in the language that the hundreds, the thousands understand, the tens of thousands understand, but the source, the speaker, may not speak the same language that is being transmitted to the hundreds, the thousands, the tens of thousands. And so you have to trust the media, or the medium, or that person in the middle, or that object, or whatever it may be, to deliver the message as clearly and precise as it ought to be for those to receive it. Unfortunately, we have been living in a society that has distorted it, perverted it, and all sorts of things. And we have hundreds of thousands of people lost because the media was not doing its job.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. And I'm just going to say this to everybody. You know, anybody else before we close out, you know, Kathleen Murphy, would you care to share? Rico, and who else have to share? Brother Satawi?
Yes, sir.
You have any things you'd like to share before we close out, sir?
I just want to share a quote from Malcolm X. He said he warned us over 50 years ago. He said that the media, well, let me pull that quote up. Hold on a second here.
Yeah, while he's doing that, just let me know when you're ready, sir.
I got it. Malcolm X warned us more than 50 years ago, the media is the most powerful entity on the earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power because they control the minds of the masses. The press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. And if you aren't careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a very, very powerful statement. I mean, Malcolm recognized it. And that's why he tried to do it. You know, he was one of the first activists that came up with sound bites where he, you know, he'd have he had a way that he always would close out an interview. I never forget in one interview he was doing with a gentleman who was who was disagreeing with him, and he closed the interview with, he asked the gentleman, he says, "What do white people call a nigga with a, what do white people call a black person with a PhD?" And the guy looked at him, he was like puzzled, you know, and he said, "Nigga." And, you know, so, and that's how they closed that interview, you know, but he had a way of getting sound bites in that would leave you captured with the essence of the point he was trying to make. And so, you know, again, you know, learning, as you were saying, you know, this whole thing is learning how to use the media and use the media for our ability to be able to get messages across the way we want to get them across, and being able to have people come out of the way that we, you know, again, it's manipulating the media. I mean, you know, we have to find ways to manipulate the media so that we can get our point across. And
I appreciate that. And that just goes to show, you know, like you say, for such a time as this, you know, is that we are our brother's keepers, and we have to be responsible, not only for us, but I do believe that every man, woman, and child has a purpose in life. And I don't believe that sometimes God put things on your heart, not David Murphy, on your hearts, that's near dear to you. You passionate about certain things. And you see the atrocities that's taking place through media, even though it may be twisted this way or that way. But you know it, but it has hit its mark, its target. Because all you have to do is look at us and what it has done to us. And they will continue to do whatever they do to us until we take a stand. Until our people start hearing from us, not from them, from us. And we got so much work to do on so many different areas. We need to start educating our own. Like Vernon said, we need to have our historical, you know, let people know what you really, who you really are. You know, they're not going to tell, the government already tell you, they ain't even going to teach a history. Even that they already hid it from you, but they ain't going to tell you about the things that they done to us and continue to do. But we can create our own narrative. It's like I say, it's no excuse, but you know, each person on here, I'm not trying to twist your arm, but then again, I am, because I am my brother's keeper. And if God has put something on your heart and you know that you need to get that information out to us, but you know, other people's going to benefit from it. And your final days, whatever it is, you had know that you had made your contributions. You had laid down a legacy. You had opened the doors for not only for us, but for our children and our children's children. So, you know, you sit in, you know, this is not the way the media tells our younger people all about me, myself, and I. No, we're not that type of way. That's a falsehood right there. I believe that each and every one is supposed to make a contribution. Why are you here? Make your contribution. That's why God put those gifts and talents in you, so that you can share with the world. The gifts and talents, not for your own amusement, but it's to share with each and every one of us. So each one of them, like I said, that's why I believe, that's why we on here by divine inspiration again, because, you know, we need each other. We need the support of each other. We need to feed from one another, and that's what we do. And Miss Kathleen Murphy, would you care to share? Or, and who else did I miss? Brother Rico?
Mr. Murphy?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good evening to all on the call. I just wanted to make the announcement for tomorrow night's Tuesday night call, if I may.
Sure.
Just a reminder, I'll be sending the link out tonight. But tomorrow night, we are going to be, have one of our new contributing editors to be our guest speaker. Miss Maya Smith will be on tomorrow night. And so we'll get to know her. And she'll get to know us. And so that should be delightful. And so I look forward to tomorrow night. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting the Tuesday night call. That's extremely helpful. Not only to all the editors, but, you know, but we, you know, so like I say, things are happening. And you know, I'm excited. But, you know, I have an announcement to make again. You know, I told y'all that on November the 6th, we have in a brunch for the group I'm involved with, Black Men Unifying Black Men. And if y'all in the area, November the 6th, there's going to be a brunch. You know, tickets are $40, but they're honoring 21 black men. And the brothers who put this together, which I'm one of their founding members, we've been around. This is going to be our 90th consecutive breakfast that we have put together for black men. 7-8 years we've been doing this now. And it's so many wonderful people have met each other over, you know, some of the breakfasts, even the National Black Unity News, because me and Bill got together. Then later on, then I was inspired to do the National Black Unity News out of that. You know, there's so many other things. Brother Tisdale, right on here now, he belonged to another group called Kioba. And Brother Rennie and them, that's just like a spinoff of what we were doing. And there's another group out here called We Are Us. I think We Are Ours, I think, or something like that, I think the name of it. But these bunch of black brothers walking all over the city, you know, helping brothers and sisters out as they go to, you know, community to community. Another one of our founding members, Dr. Buckley, has that up. You know, so seeds have been planted. This is what I'm talking about. Even though, see, that seed started with Bill Gooden to bring the six of us together. This is a seed. But who knows that all of these groups and organizations and people, some people in Philadelphia, all over the place, has been spent just from that one seed, that one thought, you know, that come out. And so that's what I'm talking about, the compounding. I mean, see, if you have a vision and a dream and you take that seed and all you have to do is just plant it and cultivate it, nurture it, and you never know. From generation to how far that seed, you know, would take, how many people it could feed. And so all I'm saying to you now, you know, the power of one, but the power of us is powerful. And so I want to thank each and every one of you because, you know, they're, you know, especially with us, I keep saying, I know we'd be redundant, but, you know, with us, there's no excuse. But God has blessed us with everybody we need. You know, we're not digging it into each other's pockets or nothing like that. We really try to assist one another because we see the value in us. We see the value and the power of us as well. We see we know that we can make, we have made contributions and we will continue to do so. But, you know, this is a fast work world and we have to keep up. And so we have to take advantage of this new technology, just like my brother said earlier. You know, there was this newspaper there, and then people got whole how to harness that air power. And so, you know, and so now this air power has evolved to this internet right now. That's how the thing's going. And out of that universe, podcasting and video is the hottest things on that. So if this way it's at, and this is what people doing, this is what people watching into, and now you have access to it. And all you have to do is put out a podcast. You can even put out just something what we're doing right now. There's no excuse why you can't do it. But, you know, but collectively, you know, the way we do it, we can get there much quicker. And you know, we can reach more people that way. But any means necessary. But we need to do something. We need to condition. You know, we can't wait till the conditions be just this way or this way. You know, we have to start where we are. And everything else, well, you know, you just plant the seed. That's all we have is the seed, right? Just plant it. We ain't got to worry about the water right now, nothing like that. The first thing you do, plant the seed first. Then you hope for rain and all that other stuff. But, you know, but if we do this, I know we will not be alone. I know that in man's law, I tell you about the three different laws, all three of them laws are waiting on us. And we have access to all of it. Natural laws, man laws, God law, all of them. We have, but that's the power God has given us. We have access to everything. Only thing we need is your seed for you to plant it. And some of us can water it, some of us can do this to it and everything else, but all we need is that seed to be planted and watch what happens. And now, right now, is the time. Because if you don't know what's coming down the pipe, I don't know what's coming down the pipe, but I know it's not pretty if we don't take a stand. I'm talking about for Black, African, American, melanated people, our source come from the source. If we do not stand up now with all that wisdom and knowledge and love we have in our hearts, and if we don't do something with it, that is an atrocity within itself. So again, I thank each and every one of y'all because, like I say, great things are happening. I'm so excited because the power of us, we, right now, with the people just on this call, we have the power to change this whole world through media. I mean, literally, can remember this scenario I gave you earlier about each one of us got joined this group and got a million apiece. That will put us right now the largest Black media in this country already. Just a small group of us. And there's no limitation on that. But I'm just saying this is how simple it is if we just do some of the basic things. But again, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you, and I hope to see you tomorrow evening, 7:30 sharp. We're going to talk about some newspaper business. We're going to meet some of our family members. But keep in mind is this, you know, I need for y'all to call me because it's time to escalate. And I need to have a one-on-one with each person because, you know, everything is not for everybody. We just need to have a conversation because, like I said, I'm a servant of service. All I need to know how I can serve you better or best. And, you know, I can't do anything without you. So, you know, I can't even do my job if you don't do your job. I can't be a servant of service. I don't have no service. And so I need you to call me and let's have a dialogue and let's get this party started and get this thing moving because, like I say, people are dying out there waiting on us. And so I appreciate you. And I'm going to say good night and hope to see you tomorrow night. Take care.
Good night, David. Good night.
Good night.
God have a blessed one. Have a good one.
Thank you, David.
Communicate.
Everyone. Good night.
And
everyone.
Communicate.
Thank you, David. Sir. Thank you all.
And communicate.
Gotcha.
All right, y'all take care now.
Goodbye.